Okay, Chevra, thank you very much for coming. I thank Rabbi Orlian for inviting me. Today's topic is called Avodah Zarah Issues Today, or something along those lines. And the topic is sensitive. It's not a topic that we take lightly. Obviously, we live in a world where equality is a huge value. And part of that value in Western society of equality is a question that comes up all the time, that whenever you say something negative about Goyim or their beliefs, so people will have questions, and people will say that's not appropriate, this isn't proper, etc. That certainly is a real issue that we have to deal with. At the same time, we have a counterforce, which is that we're talking about Avodah Zarah today, and we're talking about Avodah Zarah specifically in the context of Christianity, which is the context that we in our Western world deal with most. I actually did a quick search today through all my shul emails to see like the number of shilas I get about. So I got a few shilas about other types of Avodah Zarah issues that we're not going to talk about. Someone was on a trip in India and she decided to buy herself like a little statue of an elephant, and she wanted to know, like, when she came back, that she decided to look this up on Wikipedia, and wow, you know, that might be like some sort of deity. Oh my gosh, what do I do now? Okay, so that was like one question. That question is pretty rare. Another question that came from my show was someone works in whatever organization she works in, and the question was whether she's allowed to go into a Sikh temple, S-I-K-H. That we'll try to touch on maybe as we move on. But the major focus, obviously, is Christianity. Christianity is what we encounter the most. In my walk between my apartment here and my shul, I think I passed by 5 different churches. Washington Heights is known for having lots of them. And the question of our attitude and our halachic positions of Christianity are real questions. Now, obviously, we have to focus on the fact that in today's world, in Western society, people look askance when you say something negative about other religions. And that has to be put on the table. Additionally, we have an opposite pull, which is that the Torah speaks about Avodah Zarah in very negative terms. Now, Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg points out in his Perush HaKsava HaKabbalah and Chumash that the Torah uses the most, awful, derogatory terms for Avodah Zarah. Shaketz teshaktsenu v'sa'iv tesa'avenu. Right? It's disgusting. Our attitude should be towards Avodah Zarah, feh! Right? We should think, and that's, again, and Torah is here to train us in proper halachic attitudes as much as it's to train us in proper halachic behavior. And our attitude when we encounter Avodah Zarah should be, that's disgusting. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to think anything nice about Avodah Zarah. So many of the Isurim of Avodah Zarah are there because we are supposed to be distant, push it aside, etc. And that's a very, very real issue. We can't ignore the fact that Avodah Zarah is supposed to be the most despicable, terrible thing in the world. Chazal say, Sanhedrin Samach Gimel, Ko Leitzonusa Asura, Chutz Me Leitzonusa D'Avodah Zarah. Now that you're allowed, or you're not allowed to make fun of anything in the world, you can't do Leitzonus, with the exception of Avodah Zarah. Now, Purim is coming up. Rav Huttner famously in his first Maimer on Purim, Rav Huttner has a whole discussion about what Leitzonus is. Obviously, Leitzonus is, you know, we love Leitzonus, let's be honest, right? Leitzonus is great. Like, the whole Purim spirit is full of Leitzonus. So Rav Huttner explains that he thinks that Leitzonus, by definition, means I take something that is chashuv and I lower its chashivos. And the idea is that kol leitzonusa asura, all leitzonus is asur, chutz mi leitzonusa d'avodah zarah, with the exception of leitzonus of avodah zarah, where there should be, our attitude should be that we want to be mafchis, we want to lower any possible chashivas that people would have to avodah zarah. We want to say, no siri, there is no chashivas, we want to lower it to the best of our ability. Right? That's why Leitzonus d'Avodah Zarah, you get an impression from Rav Huttner in that Maimer, there's something I was thinking about when I reread it a few nights ago, that Rav Huttner holds that you should actively go and try to be mafchis, try to lower whatever esteem you might hold avodah zarah in. Right? The pashtus in the Gemara, I'm not sure is like that. I thought the pashtus in the Gemara is that leitzanus avodah zarah is mutter. Rav Huttner sounds like, no, our attitude should be that we want to say shaketz to shaktzenu. Right? It's not, we shouldn't look at it and say, oh, it's beautiful, gold, silver, wonderful artwork, it's gorgeous, tremendous craftsmanship. No. Right? If it's avodah zarah, our attitude should be feh, disgusting. And leitzanusa, you get an impression from Rav Huttner's presentation, is supposed to be done when it comes to avodah zarah. So we have this dual pull. On the one hand, we live in a world that equality is a value. On the other hand, it's avodah zarah. We also have to factor in that for our discussion today, the major issue is Christianity. The major player in the world of Christianity is the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church today ain't what it was, I don't know, 60 years ago. Vatican II changed things. Now, it didn't change things for our conversation, but the church that our great-grandparents grew up with, the church that was the sworn enemy of the Jewish people, is coming closer, is trying to be friends with us much more. This, of course, presents a different challenge. The whole conversation about interfaith dialogue and Rav Soloveitchik's approach to it that he wrote in the book, in his work, Confrontation, which is republished in the book, A Treasury of Tradition, is a very, very important thing. One year, I don't know if any of you guys were in yeshiva yet. Were you in yeshiva when we had the Catholics came to yeshiva? Oy vey, right? And only one guy in the back, too. Rabbi Orlean was here, probably. Okay, we have a few guys who were here when the Cardinals came. Remember that? Not the St. Louis Cardinals.
And they came 2 years ago also.
Huh? They came 2 years again. I think that was a much more quiet type of... There was one year they came into the base measures. I mean, they came a few times, actually. The first time they came, we had lunch in like Rabbi Karlov's office. For some reason, they asked me to come to the lunch, I guess because I speak English a little bit. So they wanted me to come to the lunch. For me, it was actually one of the most meaningful experiences because the Cardinals wanted to discuss how to properly cultivate a Rebbe-Talmud relationship. Now, on the one hand, the Talmud feels kafuf to his Rebbe. On the other hand, the Talmud is not unsure of his own abilities, and the Talmud will answer questions on his own. And Rabbi Rosenzweig is sitting at that meeting, and some of the best lines that ever came out of Rabbi Rosenzweig's mouth was in that conversation. It was like really great with like the whole French Catholic Church sitting around there. But the fact is, you leave that meeting, and I really felt like I wanted to go to the first mikvah, to just get into the mikvah. Like, this is, you feel dirty. Especially, we were in the room with Cardinal Lustiger, who's a Meshumet, no? Cardinal Lustiger was born Jewish. He is Jewish halachically. He was. No, he's dead. But the fact is that the attitude should be that we don't want to do this. And interfaith dialogue is really something Rav Soloveitchik have very, very strict guidelines that we have to abide to, and the yeshiva abides to them, obviously, when the cardinals come. But in my parents' generation, it would have been inconceivable for cardinals to come into a yeshiva. Totally inconceivable. But the church has changed. The church moves really, really slow. Glaciers move faster than the church. But the fact is that Catholicism has changed. But from our perspective today, from the perspective of Avodah Zarah, there is no real change. And that's what we're going to explain now. So the question on the table is, what is the status of Christianity as Avodah Zarah? Now, I should also point out that when we talk about Christianity today, we are not really distinguishing between Catholicism and Protestantism. We're not distinguishing between the various sects. Some distinctions are possible to be made that we'll go into as we go along, but l'cha'ora, the issue at hand is the belief that Christians have and whether that belief constitutes avodah zarah. If it constitutes avodah zarah, so there's a whole mesechta about dealing with it. No, it's called meseches avodah zarah. There's yerideya, simanim upon simanim, dealing with these issues. If it's avodah zarah, right, very serious issues. If it's not avodah zarah, so then we can really Right? We have much bigger kulas. We have kulas. If it is avodah zarah, there's really no kulas. If it's not avodah zarah, so then there are kulas that can be put into place. So how did the Rishonim look at the status of Christianity is the question that we have to deal with. Now, I was just telling a friend of mine in the basement this morning, I feel like I'm engaged in a bit of nivel peh in this conversation, but we have to discuss a few issues within Christianity. There are two tenets of Christian faith. I am not an expert on this, bechlal, but there are two tenets of Christian faith that we have to discuss. One is called the Trinity, the other is called the Incarnation. Ready? Trinity means that there are three different parts of the Godhead. I think that's the official term that they use. Right? There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is the given. Now, when we think about Trinity, first thing that comes to our mind is Davar Pashut. You believe in the Trinity, and by the way, Protestants also believe in the Trinity, no? You believe in the Trinity, that's Avodah Zarah. That's more than one God. Monotheism, belief in the single God, is basic yisod of Judaism. Anything that does not believe in a single God, that is Avodah Zarah, right? So Pashtus is there's no conversation whatsoever. Why on earth would I say that there is a conversation to be had? Or we should just go home, forget this year. Well, the answer is that we think that the Trinity is absolutely nothing to talk about. Right? Of course, it's Avodah Zarah. But if you'd ask a Christian about the Trinity, they would give you some very advanced mathematics called 3 equals 1. No? That is a standard tenet of Christian faith. Kim'at across the board. Again, there are certain Protestant sects that are called Unitarians that don't really have 3 equals 1. Those are much less problematic from the halachic perspective. But the idea of a triune God, right? But 3 equals 1 is something that the Rishonim really grappled with. Yes?
Who is the Father and the Son?
The Son is what we will call Yashka, and the Father is probably the equivalent of Ar HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
And the Holy Spirit would be?
The Holy Spirit is Vesach Nesht. I don't know. It's there. This I don't know. But there are 3 parts. That's the idea of the Trinity. So you ask a Christian, and they would say, no, Trinity is not really Avodah Zarah, because Trinity means 3 equals 1, and that is really monotheism. But there's another notion, which is the Incarnation. That means that Christians believe that what we will call Yashka for our conversation, although please remind me later on to go back and discuss whether we're allowed to use another name for Yashka, right? But what we will call Yashka for our conversation, the Christians believe, and different sects, well, let me just finish a sentence, and different sects have different notions of this belief, but the idea is that God became incarnate means in the flesh, in Yashka. Now, that certainly is going to be an Avodah Zarah issue from our perspective. That is the Pashtus. Because the fact is that the definition of Avodah Zarah is worshiping as God something that is not God. Right? If you believe, and we believe, that what they call the Father is Ar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's say, but then they believe that that God ended up incarnate, it ended up in a human being, does haste Avodah Zarah. Right? So, l'cha'ora, even if you say that the idea, and this is a hypothetical, because it's very possible the idea of the Trinity is Avodah Zarah from our perspective, but even naniach that it's not Avodah Zarah, but the idea of the Incarnation, and this is a point that Professor David Berger, who's the Dean of Revel, makes in some of his shiurim. He's like the real expert on many of these issues. But Professor Berger makes the point that the Incarnation, so to speak, is megale, that the Trinity has to be Avodah Zarah from our perspective. Yeah, you had a question?
Yeah, the Unitarians said it was complicated. I mean, they're better or worse?
Better. Better from the Avodah Zarah perspective.
Yeah.
Again, now, it also depends on how you understand Incarnation, but if you remove the Trinity issues, that makes it better. You had a question? Someone else? No? Fine. Let's go on. So now, status of Christians. Rambam. Rambam is the most clear position. The Rambam holds that Christianity is, ready? Avodah Zarah. Nothing to talk about, no? Zok the Rambam, Perish HaMishnah of Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel, that all of the festivals that are mentioned in the first perek of Avodah Zarah were the festivals, right, Hayum before summer, but also Asman, Eitzo HaNotzrim VaHanovim Aleihem. These are the festivals that were known at that time by the Notzrim. Now, this edition of Perish HaMishnah of the Rambam that they have on the Bar Ilan actually is really, really the good edition, no? The worst edition of the Perish HaMishnah is the Ibn Tibbin. It's the oldest one. It's a translation that was written by a Talmud of the Rambam in Hebrew. It's printed in the back of the Vilna Shas. That is a really bad translation. He wasn't a philosopher. It's just a bad translation. The Rav Kafich edition translation of the Perish HaMishnah. Perish HaMishnah is written in Arabic, so you have to translate into Hebrew because most of us don't speak Judeo-Arabic, correct? But the Kafich edition of the Perish HaMishnah of the Rambam is better. The thing is that Rav Kafich used his grandfather's own set of Arabic Mishnayos, which is not the best edition of Arabic Mishnayos out there. There is a fellow in Yeshivat Malei Adumim, Yeshivat Birkat Moshe Malei Adumim, Yehuda Shaviv, I believe his name is, who's coming out with a new edition of Perish HaMishnah of the Rambam, a new translation from the Arabic into Hebrew. And that's the one that they happen to have on Bar Ilan. That's the best one out there.
Korach
also.
What? Korach's edition printed by. That's
another edition that I don't know that edition as well. I haven't looked at it. But from my perspective, the best edition is this one. It's a new translation from the Arabic. In the Ibn Tibbin, in the standard Rabbams, you will see the words Umos HaOlam here, which doesn't really help very much. These are the holidays that the Goyim observe. But in the edition that's in the Bar Ilan CD, they have the word Notzrim. They have the word Christians. Right? Notzrim are Christians. V'chein kochag eto kol umas kol glios ha'aretz. If they're of the Avodah Zarah, we have to keep all of the precautionary measures that are mentioned in the first pack of Avodah Zarah, which means don't do business with them. V'dazak the Rambam. That this Christian nation who believes in Tainus HaMashiach, that means that they believe that Messiah came in the person of Yashka, and it's only a question of when Messiah will return. Al chiluf kitoseha, through all of its different groups, kulam oiv de avodah zarah, zok the Rambam. Right? All Christian groups, the Rambam says, are avodah zarah, and we have to apply to them the rules that we apply to ov de avodah zarah. Therefore, you can't do business with them, right? And their day is Sunday. End of discussion. The Rambam probably gets this from a Ksav Yad in the Gemara that appears in the Ksav Yad of Meseches Avodah Zarah on both Vav Amar Aleph and Zayin Amar Aleph, where the Gemara asks, Yom Notzri Mahu. Beferish. Nothing to talk about, right? We'll talk about the other understandings of this. But the Gemara asks, what's the day of the Notzri? Zuck the Rambam? Oh, that's... The Gemara says it. Therefore, Christians are Oiv De Avodah Zarah. That's the Maskona of the Gemara. And the Rambam tells this to us, not only in the Perish HaMishnah, and in Perek Tesa Avodah Zarah Halacha Dalid, the Rambam says you can't do business with the Christians before their holiday, and then in Perek Yud Aleph Machos Asurus, in the context of Stam Yenam, the Rambam distinguishes between Muslims, who he assumes are not Oiv De Avodah Zarah, and Christians. Basically, the Rambam's Shita is that the Christians are fully Ov de Avodah Zarah. This is for two reasons. Reason number one is for the Rambam Shituf, which is the term of belief in more than one entity as part of the Godhead. For the Rambam Shituf is full-fledged Avodah Zarah. Point two, incarnation is full-fledged Avodah Zarah for the Rambam. We'll talk about this in a second. Yeah.
The difference between Asr and Mutter is also like just a tiny little tweak in language. We also believe in God as different manifestations.
Okay. That's the question that I really can't answer. I mean, I can answer, but it'll take much too long. The difference between the different attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and this notion, they don't refer to different attributes. They refer to different entities. Now, the entities on their own might not have complete power, each one of themselves, but it's different entities. In their belief, it's not different attributes. If you want, there's a lot that you could read about this. Not a conversation for now.
I know. I just want to say, if it's still like a simple tweak, couldn't it be that 1,000 years ago, it was this way, and then Christian thought nowadays.
Okay, so we have. So again, what we said before is that the Catholic Church moves slightly slower than glaciers. They have not really changed their theology. Now, the question is what the average Christian believes, but ultimately, it could be that the average Christian is closer to what's a full-fledged Avodah Zarah belief than not a full-fledged Avodah Zarah belief. It takes a lot of sophistication to take this three-into-one idea and make it not full-fledged Avodah Zarah. The average Christian probably does not know enough or is sophisticated enough to have those beliefs. That's my impression. I might be wrong, but that's my impression. Now, the Rambam basically, Perek Aleph of Avodah Zarah, Halacha Aleph and Halacha Beis, the Rambam tells us that Avodah Zarah developed in the world through this idea of Shituf, no? Bimei Enosh, people made a huge mistake. And basically their mistake was, they said, since God created stars, and God gave them a certain honor, and they serve Hashem, so therefore we should honor these stars also. And then people went down, stages, Perek Av of Avodah Zarah, Halacha Aleph and Halacha Beis. The Rambam says that's how Avodah Zarah came. Effectively, what that means is that Shituf is fundamental to the Yisod of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah began in the world, not by denying Hashem's existence, but by adding on another force that people also respected and worshipped, in addition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So for the Rambam, Shituf is full-fledged Avodah Zarah. Nosaf al-Kach, the Rambam tells us in Perek Chelek, when he outlines what the Yud Gimel Ikarei HaEmuna are, the Rambam tells us as a Davar Pashut that there are two Ikarim that we have to focus on. Ikar HaBeiz, the Rambam says, is Yichudo Yisparach Shemo, Yichudo Yis'ala Shemo, right, is the Yichud. Yichud means singularity of Hashem. No? For the Rambam, right? If I translate Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad as what? That there is one God, the Rambam would say that is Kfira and Apikorsis. How do you teach Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? I don't want to go around this, but you guys are in Smicha, you should really know how to translate the Pasuk of Shema. What does Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad mean for the Rambam? And for us, we assume like the Rambam, Judaism assumes like the Rambam. God is? Is one without any parts to it. Is one whose oneness is unlike any other oneness out there. The Rav used to say that the Taish of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique. There is nothing El Mi to Damuni. Right? There is nothing that you can compare HaKadosh Baruch Hu to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely unique. You cannot say that God is one, Zok the Rambam, because one can be divided up into parts. Because those of us who were in fourth grade know that there's something called fractions. No? You can divide things up. But the Yichud of Hashem, Zok the Rambam, is the type of singular unity that cannot be divided in any way whatsoever. And therefore, the Rambam says that Ikar HaBeis leads right into Ikar HaGimel. Ikar HaGimel is the idea of Hagashmus, Shlilas Hagashmus Mimenu, the fact that God is what we would call in the Baird English translations of the Mora as the incorporeality of God. No? That means that God, Ein lo demus ha-gof, v'yeino gof. Right? That God is not a body. There is no physical substance to God. Why not? Because anything that has physical substance can be divided. And to say that God would be physical would be to say that God is not unique. To say, right? Gashmus, to say that there is a body to the Borei Olam, would mean that there is a problem of the Yichud of Hashem. Now Hashem is not completely singularly unique because he could be divided up. Consequently, the Rambam says, corporeality, assuming that there is a physical substance to a God, is obviously, right, a real problem. Good? So now, For the Rambam, there is really nothing to talk about. Christianity, and the Rambam says this beferish, Christianity is absolutely avodah zarah. I know of only one person who tried to entertain that the Rambam didn't mean that Christianity is not avodah zarah. We'll talk later in the shiur about a question as to whether a person is allowed to donate money to a church, no? So when I was first encountered this question, when I became the rabbi of the shul, someone who, in her place, it's always the women who ask the shilas. No, it's very interesting. But someone who, in her place of work, so they were collecting money for a church, and everyone is giving, and she felt like really embarrassed not to give. So the question is, am I allowed to give to a church? They're going to build a church in this neighborhood, etc. So I asked Rav Shechter, I don't know anything about this. So he tells me that basically my predecessor, but my predecessor, I mean the Grossgemeinde rabbi in Frankfurt am Main. Okay, there are two different Jewish communities in Frankfurt am Main. There's the Alstrgemeinde, which is the equivalent of Breuers today, that didn't partner with any other Jewish communities in the world, right? That's Kahal Hadas Yeshurun. And then there was another shul in Frankfurt called the Grossgemeinde that partnered with other communities. So there was a Grossgemeinde rabbi in Frankfurt am Main, the Tshuvas Matalevi is written by him. The Matalevi in Chelot Beis Himil Chavches, his name is Rabbi Mordechai Marcus Horowitz. So the Matalevi in his Tshuvas basically wants to argue that for the Rambam, Christianity is not full-fledged Avodah Zarah. The Rambam speaks about Shittuv as being Avodah Zarah, Bimei Enosh, etc. Says Rabbi Horowitz, what the Rambam means is just telling me the history of how Avodah Zarah came up into the world. It began with Shittuv, which wasn't Avodah Zarah, but then it led to full-fledged Avodah Zarah. And that is basically Rabbi Horowitz's tshuva. Rabbi Herzl Henkin, in his Tshuvas B'nei Bonim in Chelek Gimel, has a tshuva where basically he says Rabbi Horowitz must have been smoking something when he wrote this. I don't know exactly what's going on, but the fact is that this just, the numbers don't add up, because the Rambam writes Beferish in the Perish HaMishnah that we saw that the Notrim are Ovdei Avodah Zarah. There's nothing to talk about. Now it happens that Rabbi Horowitz wasn't really smoking something, but Rabbi Horowitz had other editions of the Rambam. The standard editions of the Rambam did not have the word Notrim, and therefore he is trying to say that Christianity is not full-fledged Avodah Zarah for the Rambam. The impulse is a real impulse to say it, but if you have the correct text, it's just impossible to say. So the fact is that for the Rambam, Christianity is full-fledged Avodah Zarah, nothing to talk about. All the halachos in the first pack of Avodah Zarah, in terms of not doing business with them before the holidays, in terms of not selling them weapons, in terms of all of the Mishnayos, would apply to Christians. End of discussion for the Rambam. There is, however, an extreme, on the other extreme of the Rambam, is the Meiri. No? Yes? So we'll talk about it. I mean, the basic psak is usur, but we'll get there. I should point out that the basic psak for everything we're going to say today, not everything, but most of what we're going to say today is one word, usur. It's not like, right? But we just have to get there. Okay, so Rambam holds it's all avodah zarah. Meiri, yeah.
Sorry, are we allowed, in terms of we're studying this, are we allowed to study about all the Christian things? Are we going to talk about that?
I mean, I think if there's anything that's called Lahavin or Lahoros, it's this. I mean, I think...
like the details of like...
Again, what you need to know in order of... Again, obviously, we're not the chief rabbi of Rome. The chief rabbi of Rome obviously has to know this a lot more. But we do have to have a basic familiarity because Shilus will come up. I don't think there's an isser to understand the Trinity. I don't know the level of detail that you have to understand what Trinity is and what incarnation is, but to be able to answer the shilas, I think you do have to have a sense. Again, if I get a shila about whether Buddhism is Avodah Zarah, I have to look into the shila and study it in order to answer it. Yeah.
So even like the stories about Yashka and like, there's lots
whatever you need to know to answer the shila is permitted. Okay, we'll say it like that. Now, Meiri is the opposite Shita. Meiri died in 1267, no? So the Meiri basically says that all the Rishonim, I'll say it like this, all the Rishonim in the first parak of Avodah Zarah work very hard on dealing with a stira. It's a stira between the Mishnayos and life. Mishnayos say I can't do business with the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Life tells me that every single day we do business with the Goyim, no? So the Rishonim, Taisus and Avodah Zarah on Daf Beis, and everywhere else flowing from there, they all are bothered by the kasha. What on earth are we doing? Isn't this against Mishnayos? That's a stira. So most Rishonim, Taisus gives a whole bunch of different answers. They suggest an answer that maybe Mishum Eva, it's mutter. Eva means that they shouldn't hate us, they shouldn't be angry at us. Maybe that's a heter. Taisus is inclined that there's no such heter throughout Maseches Avodah Zarah called Eva. Taisus holds Eva is not matter anything, no? At least that's Taisus's basic shita. At least on Daf Beis. The Rush happens to hold that Eva is Matir. Taisus on Chavav discusses perhaps Eva's Matir Dirabbanan. There seems to be two days in Taisus. Taisus has other answers about how can we do business with Goyim. Taisus says that our Goyim are not so devout. They're not so frum. Frum, by the way, in Yiddish used to be an insult to Goyim, no? A Yid is Erlach, they used to say, but a Goy is frum. Right? There are different terms that you can use in Yiddish for referring to an upstanding person. Somehow in our parlance, the word frum has come to use for us. But Tosis works very hard on this kasha, and Tosis gives a whole bunch of answers. Rabbi Nutam suggests that maybe the issur of doing business with Goyim is only talking about you doing business with those items that they might use to sacrifice. It's only referring to selling them animals that they might use as karbanos or the like. Tosis within the Rabbi Nutam extends that to money, because money is fungible, you can use money to buy anything, that's us on the bottom of the Amid. But the fact is that Taisus and all the Rishonim work very hard on this kasha. What's the heter of doing business with Goyim? Comes along with Menachem Hamiri, and he says, you know what? There's one yesod that will solve anything. One yesod. But this yesod has to be dealt with properly. And this conversation that we're going to have now is based on a lot of secondary sources that I give you at the very end of this packet on page 20, Rabbi Bleich's article, Moshe Halbertar's article, Dr. Berger's articles, etc. Kahina Vachahina Rabos is much, much discussion. Jacob Katz in his book, Exclusiveness and Tolerance, is the first one who really did work on trying to properly understand the sheet of the Me'iri. But the fact is that the Me'iri develops an idea which is known as Umos Hagadurim B'darche Hadosais. Basically, people who are possessed with religion. Umos Hagadurim, those who are bounded, B'darche Hadosos, with religion. The Me'iri basically is telling us that all of these prohibitions that are mentioned in the Mishnayos apply only to people who do not have any religion. People who are not bound by any rules of law. But if you have people who are bound by a coherent set of laws, so the rules do not apply to them. That's the first yesod of the Me'iri. And that's the conventional understanding of the Me'iri, that what the Me'iri is basically saying is that the Isurim of doing business with Christians or the like, the Isurim is not mitzad avodah zarah, but the Isur is because these people are what we would call barbarians. And by interacting with them, bad things could happen. So therefore, we don't interact with barbarians. That's the simple, conventional understanding of the Me'iri. However, in recent years, that understanding of the Me'iri has been challenged based on other understandings of the Me'iri. The other understandings of the Me'iri will basically lead us in the direction that Christianity is not, in fact, Avodah Zarah, according to the Me'iri. And that's something that we'll develop in the next few minutes. Let me take a question. Yeah.
You were saying that Miri was noting that if they're bound by civil law.
People who are bound by laws, right? Bound by, people who live a lawful existence.
Wouldn't I be able to refute that for a society that would...
People who have philosophy and law. For the Miri, that's what Moshe Halbertal points out in his piece, people who are possessed of rational philosophical thought and law, these people are not whom the Gemara is addressing. That's the yesod of the Me'ir with Umos Hagadurim B'darche Hadassos. Now, let's read a few Me'iris together to try to understand the sheet of the Me'iri. Let's just look at the underlined part in this first Me'iri in Daf Beis Amud Aleph and Avodah Zarah. Zok the Me'iri, Bizmanim halolu is mutter legamrei. Bizman is that we could do everything. Right? Now, don't, if you take that out of context, well, that's like the biggest kula ever. But what he means is that v'zmanu halalos mutar legamrei, that all of these Yisraelim are doing business with the goyim no longer apply. Ay, masha amri b'gemara that notzri la'olam aser. The Me'iri also has this text of the Gemara, which does not appear in our printed versions of the Shas, but is in the Ksavya that we referred to earlier, that yom notzri la'olam aser, right? Aye, the Gemara says that Notzri, which seems like Christians, is usher. Zaf the Me'iri ani mefarsho milashon Notzrim ba'im me'eretz merchak ha'amor beYirmiyah. I refer to a pasuk in Yirmiyah about those people who come from a faraway place called the Notzrim. Shekara osam ha'am Notzrim Hashem nevuchad netzar. Right? Notzrim, says the Me'iri, refers to people who come from Nevuchadnezzar. V'yadua Shetzilam Hashemesh Haibabel, Vishakol Am Nevuchadnezzar, how you owed them low. Everybody knows Shetzilam Hashemesh Haibabel, that they had a certain star god that they would worship. Ukvayadatu Shacham Mishameshes Biyom Rishon Keinyan Rasha Yomim Mumtokach, how you Karim La Oso Yom Yom Notri, because that was the day that the Nevuchadnezzar people who believed in the sun god would worship. Vadvarim Nirin Uberurim. Now, this is a very, very important Me'iri. Basically, what the Me'iri is saying is that I'm not going to be matir doing business with Notzrim because they have religion. But the Me'iri could have done one of two things. He could have said, right, we ignore this girsa. Remember, the Me'iri also says, it's not clear from the Me'iri that this girsa appeared in his shas, but he's saying there is another girsa that Notzri la'olam asur. So the Me'iri could have ignored it, but he doesn't. The Me'iri also could have said that the din used to apply, but for us today we have umos hagedurim b'darchei adosos, therefore it doesn't apply, which is an idea that the Me'iri uses hundreds of times, that mesechta. But instead the Me'iri tells us that the word notzrim, as used in Shas, means descendants of Nebuchadnezzar. Dr. David Berger, in his article in the Orthodox Forum volume called Formulating Responses in an Egalitarian Age, so Dr. David Berger makes a very big point of this. He says basically what the Me'iri is telling us is that the Notzrim that we have are not Christians. Okay? Christians are something totally different. Let's just make two more points within the Me'iri. What is the status of Christians? So, the next Me'iri. Me'iri in Gittin on Samach Beis. The Me'iri is talking about an iser of being shayel, a discussion whether you're allowed to be shol b'shloman to the umos ha'olam, whether you could give them shalom. That's a discussion there in the Gemara that the Me'iri is commenting on. But this is on page 2 still. It's the Me'iri in Gittin on Samach Beis, Amud Aleph. A few lines on the bottom, the Me'iri basically says, Mikol makom umos hageduros b'darchei adosos, two lines on the bottom of that paragraph, he says, those nations that have lua and philosophy, uma'aminim b'mitziyuso yisparach, and believe in God's existence, le'achduso, to his singularity, that God, that there's achdus, v'yicholto, and God has power, afal pishin mishtabshin b'ktsas divarim lefi emunasenu, ein lohem mokaim b'dvarim elu. Even though they're making some mistakes according to our belief, but this is not what our conversation is about. Meaning, the Me'iri, who is probably referring to the Christians he dealt with in this context, the Me'iri says that the Christians believe in Achdus, the unity of God, and they believe in the omnipotence of God, the Yechoto, but they're making some mistakes according to our belief. The Me'iri is saying that Christianity is, no, made a mistake. That is a very, very important line of the Me'iri. And let's just do one more Me'iri and then I'll take a question. Right? The Me'iri in Ahurius has the kicker, where the Me'iri tells us that there is a category in halacha called amin and an apikairis. Right? A min and apikairis is, says the Me'iri, a Jew who leaves Judaism, or a meshumed, right, is a Jew who leaves Judaism and does not adopt any other faith. Now, this is kimat not shayach to say, but if someone leaves Judaism and adopts a different faith, zok the meiri, ko misha yotza min haklau legamre, v'nasaro ben das acheres, harehu etzleinu kibnei osa hadas, shul nichnas ba, l'cho davar chut migit mekedushin. If you leave Judaism and you adopt a different religion, a legitimate religion, legitimate is quoted, according to Meiri, so then you become like people of that religion, like we will explain. That means, according to the Meiri, and this is kimat not shayach to say, no? According to the Meiri, right, you are not, right, a min, if you have no religion at all, okay, you're a min. So all these halachos in terms of Meirid and Loimailin applies to you. But if you are in a different religion, a Jew who leaves Judaism for a different religion, and by different religion, the religion that surrounded the Meiri in the southern France, where Meiri lived in Provence, the French Riviera, is Catholicism. For the Meiri, right, apparently these things are not called Avodah Zarah. It's a mistake, but it's not Avodah Zarah. That's what the Meiri is saying. Now, Rabbi Bleich, right? Rabbi Bleich is Orthodox. No one's going to say he's not. Rabbi Bleich, in this book, Yeshiva came out with this book, what, 2 months ago? Okay, it was an article that he wrote a long time ago, but it's a collection of Rabbi Bleich's older essays. He has an article called Divine Unity in Maimonides Tosas and Meiri. Okay, very, very catchy title. So Rabbi Bleich basically says, yeah, the Meiri assumes Christianity is not full-fledged Avodah Zarah because the Meiri lived, he conjectures, he suggests, that the Meiri lived at a time that the groups around him were Christian heretics. And he tries to figure out which group of Christian heretics in the sense that they didn't really hold to the Trinity. Right, they held of some sort of Achdus Habore. There have always been heretical groups in every religion. And Zok Rabbi Bleich, the Meiri, has his defense of Christianity as not being full-fledged Avodah Zarah because the Christians he encountered are these heretics. Dr. Berger, in his essay, points out that what? That there is absolutely no historical evidence for this. It's very difficult. It's a possibility, but it's a possibility without any evidence. The fact is, the Pashtus in the Meiri is that Christianity is not really Avodah Zarah. It's a mistake. Now, this might not change anything for us, because I have a tzavar from the Meiri. You know, you learn Yerideya, sometimes you face, you find a Shita. So it's a Shita. What difference does it make? La halacha probably doesn't impact very much on the conversation, but the fact is that's what the Meiri holds. Dr. Berger, in his essay, he tries to use at least the first part of the Meiri, that we have a more positive approach to Christians because they are umos hagadurim b'darchei hadassos, not necessarily that lack of Avodah Zarah part. He tries to show that many poskim of the last generation held this way. He digs up a Sridei Eish in his letters that's published in Torah Madra Journal Volume 8. He digs up a Rav Aaron Soloveitchik in the Sefer Parach Mati Aharon. There's a few sources along those lines of genuine poskim who use the Meiri. Rav Herzog used the Meiri. Now, Rav Herzog wrote one of the most important works for this conversation is Rav Herzog's work that's called Hatzachukali Yisrael Pi Dinei HaTorah. Right? Basically, Rav Herzog was trying to write a constitution for the state of Israel, no? And the problem is, if I write a constitution, so I have to protect minorities. Well, what do I do about Christians in the state of Israel? What do I do with all the mitzvahs in the Torah of Vibatem Eshimom and Hamokei Mahu? Right? The mitzvahs of that we have to go and destroy all the Batei Avodah Zarah. Right? Rav Herzog is very bothered. He says, well, if we're going to try to keep these dinim, so then what's going to happen is the entire world is going to turn against us and there's going to be Chas V'Shalom, no? So Rav Herzog, in his attempt to deal with this, he also uses the Meiri a bit. If you look in Tchumen in Volume 2, there's an exchange between Rav Herzog and Rav Yehuda Gershuni about many of these issues. The question of the status of Christianity also was taken up by Rav Herzog there in Hatzchukali Yisrael. Although, here actually I brought in some of this work. That's Rav Herzog, by the way. That's a picture of him, right? Tchilas, right? Rav Herzog, now famous Rav Herzog. So Rav Herzog in Rav Herzog was trying to argue also that we can rely on the fact that Christianity might not be Avodah Zarah in terms of our chiyuv that applies in Eretz Yisrael to go out actively and destroy Avodah Zarah. Right? That's what Rav Herzog basically says. He says it's going to be a suffix of Avodah Zarah L'maisa in terms of if you hold that Christians actually worship their icons and it is Avodah Zarah. If they don't worship icons, it's not Avodah Zarah. For us, he says it's a suffix. Well, we can rely on the Rambam, that suffix, D'Oraisa L'Hakel, because it's such an Esat Zarah Gadol. That's basically his tshuva. These are some of the issues in terms of the Me'iri. Yeah, Rabbi Orlean?
Something that we assume is definitely Avodah Zarah. The halacha is Avodah Tavdur and all those halachas destroying Avodah Zarah do apply to Zman HaZarah.
So that's the question. The Chazon Ish works very hard on that question. It could be that it doesn't apply because those halachas also require some sort of Hashras Hashkin, etc. That's not so pashut from the Gemara. It's very hard to understand the Heter, right? If you assume it's genuine, bona fide, full-fledged, right, unquestionable Avodah Zarah, so then it's much harder to understand the Heter. That's why Rav Herzog was working so hard on this question. Let me take a few questions. We'll go this way, yeah.
In regards to Meiri above, referring to the Nitzrim being from the Hetzer, how would you deal with the fact that a lot of Christian practices come directly from actual paganism, actual sun worship?
So again, the fact that some of their practices come from there is undeniable. But the question of what's the theology, what the religion really believes, Lamaisa, is a separate question. Right? It could be that practices originate in what was paganism, but they are not using it in a pagan sort of way. Yeah?
Different posts reported that using the Urim, they just use it as a tzad, they don't know it's really passing.
So that's the question. I mean, the shmur is that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik used to pass like this Me'iri straight up. One of the questions is, can you be Mechal Shabbos for a non-Jew? Bisman does that. The Pash, this is, it's Mamish Aser, no? There's a Me'iri in Daf Pei Dalet in Yuma where he uses this idea of Umos HaGedurim in terms of Chol Shabbos, Amalabi Mechal Shabbos for Umos HaGedurim B'dachei Hadosos. Shmua has it that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik used to pass in this way. When I was learning the Sugya the first time, so I spoke to my friend Meir Soloveitchik, Sally, who is a grandson of Aaron. So I said, like, what do you know about this Shmua? So he said I should call Dr. Applebaum, Dr. David Applebaum, and he gave me his number, and I'm supposed to call him. It turns out he wasn't killed that week. He was killed by terrorists that week, he and his daughter, right, that was, she was about to get married. So I never spoke to him. But many people quote that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was a Mekel, even on being Mechal Shabbos for non-Jews. That's a huge kula. That's like, that's huge.
Also,
huh?
I mean,
so Ava is a different thing, right? And Ochanami, there might be a kul mishum Ava. We're not giving that year today, right? Obviously, what's his name, Noah Feldman, and whatever, you know, that whole conversation. We're not giving that year today. But the fact is, if you pass like the Me'iri, so okay, end of conversation, right? Yeah, Yaakov.
If Abay Tamzon wouldn't apply nowadays, what would that entail practically?
If what?
What would Abay Tamzon entail practically nowadays if it did apply, like destroying who, what?
If it did apply or if it didn't apply?
If it did apply.
If it did apply, it would entail what you think it entails. Right? Like, Lamaisa, no one does this, right? We don't do that. We don't go actively destroying Avodah Zarah. Right? So in Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says Tzarich l'sharei shachareha. No, that there's a mitzvah that you have to go and try to uproot that avodah zarah. We don't do this.
People, the practitioners as well.
No. Oh, to kill the people?
Yeah.
I mean, technically, avodah zarah is from the shevet zisbenei noyach in terms of, but that's not right. We have a lot to do. No, you're not going to kill them. We're not going to kill them. Let's go on. Let's talk about the sheet of Tisus, okay? Tisus is really the most important sheet to discuss. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and in Bechoros and in Megillah basically says that it's forbidden to make shutfis with a Nachri. Why? Because maybe the Nachri will be chayev a shavua and he'll swear with his Avodah Zarah. And the Torah says, lo yishama al picha. Now, there is a big machlokis here in Tosfos between the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam. Rashbam, right? The Gemara says, I'm not allowed to enter a business relationship with the non-Jews, because maybe they will swear. The Rashbam says, oh, kosher kain, you're not allowed to be mekabel a shavua from them. You see, there's an issue of lo yishama al picha. I can't cause someone to mention the name of an Avodah Zarah. So Rashbam says, if I can't enter a business partnership with them because they might mention the name of Avodah Zarah, certainly I can't be mekabel a shavua from them. However, Rabbeinu Tam Omer, that's Mutar Lekabla Himenu Shavua Kodem Sheyafsid. Rabbeinu Tam says, I am allowed to accept a Shavua from the non-Jews because before I end up losing money. Like the Gemara says in Avoy Dezara, that move up and from me meant Neshu Kamatsu Miyodam. Velochajin Doma Azomoda. Aye, over there it's a suffix, here it's a Vadai. Still, Bizman Hazeh, Kulam Nishbain Bekodshim Shalahem, the ain't Hofsim Bahem Elohofs. Says the Rabbeinu Tam, Bizman Hazeh, the Shavua that's taken by the Christians, those are the people Rabbeinu Tam is dealing with, is a Shavua with their saints. Basically, they swear by God. And when they swear by God, they probably have in mind Yashka, right? Because God and Yashka is equal for them. And they also include the Lashon of the Shavua. They also include the Kodshim Shalahem, the saints, right? The Lashon of the Shavua, Dr. Berger has in his book on page 175, that the Christian sources say that the text of Shavua is, I swear by the name of the omnipotent God and four sacred gospels. That's probably the Shavua that they were taking, right? Says the Rabbeinu Tam, even though, right, they swear, Bizman is that Kulan Ishman Bekoshah, they swear by their saints, and they don't, even though they mention God, and when they mention God, they are thinking about Yashka, so Tysus is saying a whole bunch of stuff, no? It's very unclear how to follow the Tosus, right? And in Dr. Berger's book about Chabad, in the third appendix, in the back of the book, he has a whole section of how to understand this Tosus. Basically, there are two major Mahalchim within Tosfos. Rabbeinu Tam says that I'm allowed to accept a Shavua from the non-Jews. Why? So that I shouldn't lose money. I, when the non-Jews swear, they are thinking about, they are being maskir shem shamayim, but their kavana is also l'davar acher, the kavana is also for Yashka, still it's not a problem. There are two ways of understanding Tosfos. One way, or three ways of understanding Tosfos, Dr. Berger points out, but we'll focus on two of them. One way of understanding Tosfos is that Tosfos is speaking about Christianity in general. Tosfos is saying that there is no iser to cause non-Jews l'shatef. That shituf, belief in God and davar acher, is not a problem for Christians. That's one approach. And therefore, I don't have a problem when I administer Shavua to a Christian, because even though the Christian is going to swear to God and to Davar Acher, not a problem for me, because for the Christian, that's not forbidden. That approach would mean that for Jews, it is Avodah Zarah. To believe in a true God and something else, Shituf, is a problem of Avodah Zarah for a Jew, but for a Christian, it's not Avodah Zarah. We see this by some of the other of the Shev Mitzvot B'nei Noach, Gezel. There's a different definition of Gezel for B'nei Noach than there is for B'nei Yisrael. Pachos Mishava Pruta. It could be, it's not called Gezel by B'nei Yisrael. By B'nei Noach it is Gezel. The Iser of Torah by Goyim, right, is an Iser of Gezel, perhaps, right? But for Jews, right, teaching Torah, right, that's not going to be Gezel. The idea is that we do see, even though there's L'chumer, here's L'chula, we do see by some of the Shev Mitzvot B'nei Noach, there's a slightly different definition. Arayas, there's a different table of Arayas for B'nei Noach than there's for B'nei Yisrael. Right? It could be that Avodah Zarah by B'nei Noach has a different definition than Avodah Zarah by B'nei Yisrael. That's approach one to Tosfos. Approach two to Tosfos is what the Noda B'Yehuda says, which is that all Tosfos means is that Shavua, there's no problem of swearing to two entities. There's no problem of swearing b'shituf. But Avodah Zarah, if I actually believe in two entities, that for sure is a problem. That's what the Noda B'Yehuda says. Again, approach one of Tosfos is saying that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah for Christians. For B'nai Yisrael, certainly it is. Approach two is saying that we're not talking about their beliefs. Their beliefs, so Zion is Avodah Zarah, but the Isser of swearing, that doesn't apply to Christians. To swear, Beshituf, does not apply. These are the two approaches. The Pisrei Tshuva points out, that the simple reading of the Ramah, I give you the Pisrei Tshuva on bottom of page 4, we'll talk about it in a second, the simple reading of the Ramah is that the Ramah, at least in Dr. Moshe says so explicitly, the Ramah understands that Shituf, the belief in different forms, is not Avodah Zarah for non-Jews, and there's a different definition of Avodah Zarah for non-Jews than there is for Jews. That's a simple reading of the Ramah. However, it could be that most Achronim follow the position of the Nodib Yehuda, that all this Tosis means is in Shavua, but belief in two entities would be Avodah Zarah both for non-Jews and for Jews. Right? That is the important issue here. Within the Shita of Tosis, is it Avodah Zarah? Right? Or not. Is Shita of Avodah Zarah? So the Ramah understands that according to Tosis is not Avodah Zarah. The Navi Yehuda says it is Avodah Zarah. The Shach Paskins, that Avodah Zarah, that for non-Jews has a different definition of Avodah Zarah than it does for Jews. That's Kufnun Aleph, Sifkatin Zion, that goes on to the top of page 5. That's how the Shach Paskins. But the fact is, the Rav is quoted in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav on page 230, that the Rav said this psak of the Shach is Kishkagah sheyotzah milofnei hashalet. It's a mistake. Atois. End. It's a mistake. Meaning to say, even though there are more passings that Christianity might not be Avodah Zarah, but the fact is that we don't follow the Ramah, and we understand what Tosis meant is only le'inyin Shavua. Now, there's a lot more to say about this. We went very quickly in this part about Tosis. Let me just take one or two questions, and maybe we'll spend 3 more minutes on this, and we'll try to get to some of the applications lahalacha. Yeah?
Did Rav give any concrete reason why he thought it was a mistake?
No. I mean, he felt it was a mistake because it's untenable. How could it be that belief in a shituf, in a dual entity, belief in the corporeal God, is not a void? How are you talking? How could that be?
Well, Meiri.
Right? So let me, again, the Rav said about the Meiri, Rabbi Blaise quotes this in his essay, he quotes Rabbi Heshi Reichman, who wrote an article in the Hamavaser ones, that when the Rav encountered the Meiri, he says, it's a Meiri. Basically something like that. Notice he didn't give it much credibility. What?
It's a mere
Mi'iri,
or it's merely the
Mi'iri. So, I mean, the Nusach that he has. So the way the Rav said it is, the late Rabbi Joseph Salvechik peremptorily dismissed views expressed by the newly published works of Mi'iri based upon manuscripts as of mere curiosity, no normative import. It's mere curiosity. That's what the Rav apparently said. Again, the Meiri is a major Rishon, but the Rav dismissed it. And the Rav said that this understanding of the Ramah and what the Shach Paskins is Kishkagah sheyotzam lefnei hashalet. That's the way the Rav said it. Now, there is a lot to be said about this, just to go into the Sugya much more, in terms of the Rabbeinu Tam begins by saying you're allowed to take a Shavua from the non-Jews because you're saving money. How could that be? How could I violate an Issa D'Oraisa in order to save money? So the basic answer might be that Rabbeinu Tam felt that you're not violating an Issa D'Oraisa, but come out, say it's only B'Shev Al Taisa, B'Shev Al Taisa, I'm allowed to do it to save money. There's a number of Mahalchim, I have like 3 Mahalchim to say within that Tosis that I found in the Sfarim on Bechoros. There's a lot to be said about that. The same Rav, by the way, who said that the Meiri is a mere curiosity, and this Ramon Shach is a mistake, and Christianity definitely is Avodah Zarah, Rabbi Walter Wurzberger, who was the Rav of the Shul when I was growing up, and he used to teach philosophy here in Yeshiva. He was a sharing office to Rav Schechter, Rabbi Wurzberger. So Rabbi Wurzberger said that he remembered, and other people quote this also, Dr. Berger has this on the tape. There used to be things called tapes. He has it on Wayu Torah. But the fact is that the Rav said that one time he was visiting some people in the hospital in Boston, and one of the cardinals from Boston was sick, and he sees Rav Salvechik coming, and he asks the Rav, please come into the room, because this cardinal was having a crisis of faith. and he wanted someone to discuss matters of faith with him, and the Rav said that he went and discussed matters of faith with this person. Now that's a very, very big problem, because if you assume that Christianity is mamish avodah zarah, what heter did the Rav have to try, right, when you have a cardinal who has a crisis of faith, so what heter is there to give him faith? Or you want him to have a crisis of faith, it's avodah zarah. So what's going on? So Dr. Berger in that tape works very hard to answer this question. He thinks that perhaps the Rav felt that the Isser of Minos, the Isser of complete non-belief, is worse than the Isser of Avodah Zarah. There's a story also with the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe used to travel like in horse and wagon from town to town, and the wagon drivers always used to cross themselves when they got in. One time, the wagon driver didn't cross himself, and the Alter Rebbe refused to get in the wagon with him. And they asked, like, what's going on? Like, if anything, it should be fakert. It should be, if he's crossing himself, he's a levin avodah zarah, and, like, then you shouldn't get in the wagon. So the Alter Rebbe also said that he felt that lack of any belief is worse than having a wrong belief. Now, that is an idea that really sounds very much like the Me'iri. That's exactly what the Me'iri is basically saying. It's very hard to understand this Rav story. It's very, very hard to understand it. But Lamaisa, that's what we have. The Rav did say it's Kishkoy Shiyotzim Mifnei Hashalat. So La Halacha, we are assuming like this. Rambam definitely holds it's Avodah Zarah. Me'iri holds it's probably not Avodah Zarah, but the Me'iri we said is a mere curiosity. Right? So La Halacha, we assume that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. And this will lead us to many halachic conversations that come up right now. Is it permitted to enter a church? Now, this shaila comes up all the time in a whole host of contexts. I give you a lot of makoros on this question. The Mishnah in Avodah Zarah says that a city that has Avodah Zarah in it, you're not allowed to go into that city. Zok the Rambam there in Perish HaMishnah, the Shach quotes it, that kosher can you can't go into the base of Avodah Zarah itself. The Gemara Yitzayin in the Avodah Zarah says that there's a din of harchak of dalet amos from Avodah Zarah. You have to keep 4 amos away from it. If Christianity is Avodah Zarah, and by the way, when we talk about Christianity being Avodah Zarah, like we mentioned before, this is from the Bin Yitzayin, Simen Samach Gimel, and the other Sfarim, what we mean is Christianity even without icons. Even in the Protestant faith, if they believe in Trinity and Incarnation, so that is Avodah Zarah, so you can't go into the base Avodah Zarah. That is mamish asur. No? That's what the Rambam writes, based on the Mishnah Yud Aleph and on, on the Gemara Yud Zayin. The Ritva has that this is accepted in Poskim, that it is forbidden to go into a church. Reb Moshe Feinstein has this in the Tshuva. He says going to just look, even if you're not going into worship, but just going to look at the artwork. Zakhar of Moshe's Mamish Aser. And there's a few interesting lines at the end of this tshuva. Rav Moshe says, right, first of all, it's a Dover Hashchasa be'emuna b'deyos, she'yerotzoin leilech sham. Right? It's Hashchasa in emunos and deyos to even want to go into a church. And my son Reb David told me that the only reason why they have such beautiful artwork in churches is lahasis ulahadiyach behiskarvos. Right? What do they want to do? They want you to become attracted to Christianity. So that's why they have their things. That would mean that to go into a church under all circumstances, l'cha'ora, is mamish going to be. Also, that Tzitz Eliezer has this in the Tshuva, Chacham Ovadia has this in the Tshuva, Chacham Ovadia writes that when he was the chief rabbi in Cairo, so somebody died, and the predecessor chief rabbi wanted Chacham Ovadia to go to the funeral in the church, and Chacham Ovadia looked into the sugya, and he said, under no circumstances is it permitted to go to a church, even though there's going to be Eva. He says this is an Isser d'Oraisa to going to a church. And therefore, Eva is not Matir. The Tzitz Eliezer and Chacham Ovadia disagree about whether it's mutter to go into a mosque. La halacha, no? And the Tzitz Eliezer, he paskins that's usher to go into a mosque. He says that since the Chedushei Haran writes in Sanhedrin that when the people in the mosque, the Muslims, they believe in our God. When they bow down, right, the Muslims presumably are bowing down to our God. There's no graven images in the mosque, right? And it's our God, so what would be the problem? The Tzitz Eliezer basically writes here, it's on page 7 in this, page 8, excuse me, in this packet, that L'man Mikan, that the Meshuga Shoh HaYishme'elim Afo Pi She'ein Toen Acharein La'asoson Elohos Ho U'mishtach Avim Lefnei Mishtach Avoshel Elohos Din Avodah Zorah Yesh Lahen L'chol Dovar L'chol Dvar Isser Shah Avodah Zorah Shalom, etc. Basically what the Tzitz Eliezer is saying, that the Ran tells us that since they bow down in a way that looks like an act of worship, even though they're only doing it for kavod and not doing it for worship, still the mosque is a place of avodah zarah. That's what the Tzitz Eliezer paskins. Chacham Ovadia writes in a tshuva, in the one that I give you in Chelek Zayin Simen Yud Beis, Chacham Ovadia says that he thinks that going into a mosque is not a problem, because even though the Ran says it, but the Rambam was more familiar with the practice of Islam than the Ran, because the Rambam lived closer in that part of the world, and therefore, says Chacham Ovadia, he thinks you're allowed to go into a mosque. People have been davening in Ma'aris HaMachpelah for a very long time. Ma'aris HaMachpelah is a mosque, no? So Chacham Ovadia says you can go into a mosque, but to go into a church, Bishum Panim Va'ifin, absolutely not. Under normal courses and circumstances, you cannot go into a church. End of discussion. That is Reb Moshe, the Tzitz Eliezer, and Chacham Ovadia, all Gedolei HaPoskim, basically say that. Yeah, let me take a question.
And that applies only to mamish the building, or if they have property that's fenced.
Okay, so we'll have these conversations in 3-4 minutes. We'll get there. Now, in 2009, President Barack Obama was inaugurated. No? Great day. Right? Obama, first African-American president, people are very excited. So they have a service, an inauguration service in the National Cathedral. A prominent rabbi was invited to participate in that inauguration service, and he went. And then suddenly, right, the newspapers are all talking about this. Well, one second, the RCA came out to say you're not allowed to go into this service. This is not just going into a church. This is being in the church for a service, right? The RCA says a prominent rabbi is making a big mistake. This leads, I give you some of the sources in the back. There's an article in the Chakira Journal. There's a sermon that this prominent rabbi gave, etc. I give you some of the sources. The fact is, or I'll tell you where those sources are. The fact is that one rabbi wrote a defense of said prominent rabbi and said, you know what, it's permitted to go into a church for the service. And he based himself on what it says in Yoredei Yosimin Kuf Ayin Ches. There's an Isser, which Isser Do'i Raisa, B'chukol Seyem Lo Sey Lechu. B'chukol Seyem Lo Sey Lechu means that you cannot do those things which are the derech of non-Jews to do. You can't cut your hair the way non-Jews cut their hair. You can, right? B'chukol Seyem Lo Sey Lechu. These are Isurim De'oraisa. However, the Gemara Bava Kama says, if someone who's Mekurev or Malchus, someone who's close to the government, so there is, if you're Mekurev or Malchus, so there's no Isser B'chukol Seyem Lo Sey Lechu. Says said rabbi that, or the rabbi who defended said prominent rabbi said, oh, if the Isser B'chukol Seyem Lo Sey Lechu is relaxed from a curve of Malchus, so certainly, right, B'chukol Seyem Lo Sey Lechu is an Isser D'oraisa. Certainly this Isser of going into a church, which is really Maris Ayin, that's basically what he says, it's really Maris Ayin only, so certainly that Isser should be relaxed. End of discussion. Well, another rabbi, Rabbi Kenny Alman, argued in the pages of Chakira's rabbi. He says, what are you talking about? B'chukol Seyem Lo Sey Lechu is, right, and the Beis Yosef has the dais, I give it to you here on the bottom. B'chukol Seyem Lo Sey Lechu basically means that I can't have a non-Jewish haircut in order k'dei lehidamos, to appear like a goy. But if my kavana is not to appear like a guy, if my kavana is that I'm doing it in order to, because I'm a kurva malchus and I have to have favor with the government authorities to help Jews in the future, so my kavana is not to appear like a guy, that's why it's going to be mutter. The Beis Yosef speaks about Mesara HaKosav HaChachamim. Now, this is like one of Reb Asher Weiss's favorite topics of conversation. Mesara HaKosav HaChachamim, which is that the Chachamim defines which Isurim we permit, which ones we don't permit. To go into a church, right, L'chor is mamish usher. In fact, there is a machlokes. There is a machlokes between the Ran and the Rashba about whether going into a church is yehareg v'al yavar. Let's say they are chasing after me. I remember one time, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was here in Yeshiva for a Shabbos, and he used to do like what they called press conferences Friday nights, no? So at one of these press conferences, someone asked him about going into a church and looking at church art. That was the question. So Rav Aaron basically says, there's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch, but if someone's chasing after you with a knife, are you allowed to run into the church to save your life or not? So we paskin that it's mutter, but only that's mutter. To go and look at art, for sure, is aser. That's basically what he said. It's a machlokes. Rashba assumes that maris ayin of avodah zarah is yehareg v'al yavar. When the Gemara says, if I drop a few coins, yud beis in avodah zarah, drop a few coins in front of the getchka, I'm not allowed to bend down to pick up those coins, no? That's what the Gemara says, right? Is that yehareg v'al yavar? Is that yehareg v'al yavar? The Gemara says, even if I'm very, very thirsty, I can't bend down to the fountain to get a drink if the fountain's in front of the getchka. Is it maris yehareg v'al yavar? How thirsty are you? You going to die? Rashba says yehareg v'al yavar. That Marasayin of Avodah says Yehareg v'al yavar. Shulchan Aruch and Kufnu Zayin said, Gimel, we pass in Nitvi, the Rash, we pass like the Chufas HaRosh and Klal Yutes. The Chufas HaRosh says that it's not Yehareg v'al yavar. That means I don't have to give up my life. I could save myself from death by going into a church. Now, is it mutter, therefore, if I have a heter of only Pekuach Nefesh, is it Pekuach Nefesh to go to the National Inauguration Service? Is that Pekuach Nefesh? Now, it happens that this prominent rabbi spoke truth to power. This prominent rabbi told President Obama, remember the comments that you made in Sderot about if there would be people shooting missiles into my living room, I would. Right? Lemaisa, this prominent rabbi says, what I did was Pekuach Nefesh, it was saving Jews. Okay, maybe Yesh Lodon, I don't know if it's real Pekuach Nefesh. Lemaisa, I don't think so. It might have been Eva. Eva's a chshash rachok of Pekuach Nefesh. Real Pekuach Nefesh has to be acute. The guy's chasing after you with a knife. That's Pekuach Nefesh. Right? Eva, a concern that maybe it would lead, etc. I don't know if it's your Pekuach Nefesh. I don't know if there was a heter. I think the RCA was right. I don't know if there was a heter to go to that National Inauguration Service. What this other rabbi is saying in defense of this rabbi is really very difficult to use an analogy from Simon Kufay in Ches in Yerideya. It's very difficult. The Dien B'chuk Hoseim don't really apply. No Safakach, this other rabbi said that he once was invited by the Israeli government to participate in the service, and the Tzitz Eliezer told him that he should go in and look as rabbinic as possible and raise yarmulke and be very proud. That story is so hard to believe on many, many levels. It's very difficult. The defense that this other rabbi is giving for the prominent rabbi is very, very difficult to believe. I think it's very schwer. I think it's very, very schwer. Yeah.
He was saying that I understand how Rabbi Hellman can compare Maris Ayin Avodah Zarah, you know, of bowing down to get coins, and this, because any person in their right mind looking at the church would say, "Oh, this rabbi's church. Oh, he must be wanting to become a Christian."
I don't know if they see me in a church during the service, even if I'm not actually bowing down, what are they going to think I'm doing?
But it's a political thing. It's they say, "Oh, all religious leaders are there." And the same thing as say a church in Rome.
Again, issues of Maris Ayin, generally we don't look at issues of Maris Ayin. I spoke about this with Mayor Day here a few weeks ago. We don't look at it. If I'm wearing a yarmulke, there's no Maris Ayin. We don't do that.
The fact is that this Isser is
a very serious Isser. Right, the Shulchan Aruch only permits going into a church to save your life. Many assume, by the way, Chacham Ovadia in his tshuva assumes that it's not just Maris Ayin. There's an Isser d'Oraisa to go into a church. He assumes, right? It's not just Maris Ayin. Maris Ayin, we assume, is Drabonon in most cases, right? But the fact is, it's very, very, very difficult to come up with this Makula. Now, it happens. Like, and Rabbi Bleich wrote an article in Tradition, Volume 44, about entering churches. Rabbi Bleich basically says, first of all, he makes a few interesting points. One point is that until Vatican II, the Catholic Church assumed that it's forbidden for Catholics to go to a prayer service of another faith. Right? In other words, a Catholic would be usher to go into a shul. Until Vatican II. Now, that, the Gemara says, takes away the Isser of Eva. If it's a Savara that you could explain to them, you also don't do this, so therefore we can't do it. Right? That takes away Eva. There's clearly no Eva. Second of all, Rabbi Bleich argues that attending these big prominent events are it's unlikely that will really have any tangible impact. These are ceremonies. They don't really have tangible impact on the relations with government and the people. That's Rabbi Blake's argument. Yesh lodun b'zeh. People, the greater politicians, might have a better insight to this. Nosaf al kach, one of the arguments that Rabbi Alman makes is that if you're going to hold that there's a heter makur v'malchus, makur v'malchus is somebody who's always makur v'malchus. There might be a heter, let's say, for Malcolm Honlein to go and attend a national prayer service. He's always makur v'malchus. But one particular rabbi in one particular congregation who doesn't have an ongoing relationship with the government in the same way, it's very, very, very difficult. Okay, let's talk about a few other issues in churches. Are you allowed to go into rooms where they don't worship Avodah Zarah? So Reb Moshe Netshuva in Chelak Gimel, I believe, Siman Ayin Zayin, writes that he thinks that if it's a room, remember, Avodah Zarah, that Christianity is Avodah Zarah, even if there are no icons, it's Avodah Zarah. If the room is used for religious purposes, like for education, Reb Moshe holds that that's also going to be a problem. So to go into a classroom might be a problem. But if it's just a social hall, or if it's a basement room or something like that, then they don't really educate there. So is that a problem? So the poskim are make on going to vote in churches. Moshe Sternbach has a tshuva about this. Many people have tshuvas about this, about voting in churches. The assumption is that's mutter. Most assume that the situation boils down to this. The issue is probably an issue of Maris Ayin. That means if everybody knows that it's election day. And why are you going there? Because there's a big sign, vote here, or vote aquí, or whatever you say it, right? However you have those signs. There's a big sign that says, this is the polling place. So you go in there, everybody knows you're going there to vote. Especially because in most of these cases, it's a separate entrance. It's not the main entrance to the church. It's usually a separate side room, right? And there's a separate sign. And it's not at a time when there are services going on. So those situations were make-all. People ask Shilohs about that they work in OT and PT or whatever, and they have to have clients in the church building, etc. In cases like this, the fact is that it's not going on when the service is going on. And there's a separate entrance. It's not taking place in the sanctuary room. So over that should be mutter. L'chor, that should be mutter. The poskim speak about a church that no longer functions as a church. There is in this neighborhood the cloisters, no? The cloisters is supposed to have wonderful artwork. Rav Shechter holds it's mamish also to go to the cloisters, no? I think some years there are art classes here from the college that have gone. It's always been an issue when it came up. Rav Shechter holds it's you're not allowed to go into the cloisters. The basic question for that is that even though it's no longer a church, right? It used to be a monastery in France. Then they broke it down and they moved it over to Washington Heights. Basically, it's no longer a church. But the fact is, why do they want you to go? Like what Rav Moshe wrote in that shuvah that we saw a few minutes ago. They want you to go to look at their artwork, to admire Christian art, to respect it. That might be an issue that's found in Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Tes of Al Tifnu El Ha'elilim. That I'm not allowed to be enticed by Avodah Zarah. There are two different ways of looking at that issur in the Rishonim, but everyone holds that by Avodah Zarah there's an issur of Al Tifnu El Ha'elilim. So Lamaisa, when it comes into going into a church, if it's not the actual sanctuary, and it's not a time when church services are going on, certainly if there's a separate entrance, so in those cases, the Acharonim are Mekel, but short of that, it's really a very difficult kula, and to go to admire the Christian artwork should really be a problem. To give donations to the church, so we mentioned the action of the Matalevi, one second, the Malam and Lahoel basically says that Ein ani yochol limtzo heter. I have no heter for this. Even if you're matir shitah for nachman, but for a Jew, you can't have any chelak in shitah. So how can the Jew give money to the construction of a church? He thinks it's mamish going to be aser raki nosei mostam v'yesh little she'efshar she'itzdar chamos davar acher. If I give money to like an agency, and it could be that the agency would use the money for the construction of the church, it could be they use it for something else, then the malamed l'hoel is mekel. But l'maisa, that's going to be very difficult. Yeah. Can you just speak louder?
I'm not sure if you could. What if there's an event that happens to be running in the church that has nothing to do with Christianity?
We assume that an event that is taking place in the church sanctuary itself, we assume is generally a problem. To go into the sanctuary itself, we assume is a problem.
Or a classroom.
a classroom, a question, if Moshe's an issue, again, it feels to me, I haven't seen this in Poskim, but it would seem that the classroom should be less of an acute iser than the sanctuary itself, but Rav Moshe seems to put the two together. We assume that it's really, again, for pekuach nefesh, it's permitted, but short of that, this goes back to what we began with. Even though we come from an egalitarian perspective, we want everything to be the same, beautiful, but the fact is Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah. Right? And the fact is that we have to maintain the distance from Avodah Zarah.
This came up the other day, a lot of churches have like food donation banks. You bring the food and they distribute it to the
church. Right, so again, if the money is going to the church itself, so we're not supposed to give money to the church itself. If they are going to give the money to the poor people, right, that I give the, so then they're tzadim l'hakel. Now, you have to really know the mitzvahs. You have to know the facts on the ground. We bring them food. Oh. Right, so what do they do with the food? Right, if they sell the food and they use the money, right, again, you have to really know the facts on the ground. It's not so simple. Rav Schechter was discussing yesterday, Shaila, I saw the Shevet Halevi as a tshuva about this. If, let's say, the church owns apartment buildings, am I allowed to live in an apartment building that's owned by the church? My rent is going to go, in part, they earn money, my rent is going, in part, to church maintenance and upkeep. Is that permitted? The Shevet Halevi assumes that that's going to be usur. Someone's asked him a shayla that was like a stage two of this shayla. So he wrote a tshuva, basically he says, no one asked me about stage one, but in terms of stage two, this is my opinion. Right? In other words, it's certainly not pashut. The Shevet Halevi assumes that it's going to really be usur.
In terms of donating food, do you have to assume, or should one assume, that the food isn't just going to be handed out to distributed, it's going to come with preaching and proselytizing on the part of the church members doing the distribution?
I don't know.
It's very often they'll use those opportunities to spread the good news, as they put it.
To spread the gospel. Right. Don't know. It's something that's worth thinking about. Again, like we're trying to sort of learn together. Don't know. Yeah.
On an institutional level, it's understood that if you're giving money, then they're going to do whatever they want to with it. But giving money to an individual, that goes back to the Tosafot Sanhedrin that discusses about that idea.
So again, giving money to an individual guy, the Gemara says, "Mefarnesem ani nochrim im ani yisrael neidakei shalom." The Shach points on Yeridei that im ani yisrael lav dafka. Even if there, it's just a goyish on the next to me, I'm allowed to give him tzedakah. I should.
Like, let's say you're renting for somebody who owns a building who's Christian, and you know they're Christian, and they know they go to a church. So your money actually.
So that's considered indirect enough. I think that that's not a problem. But to give it to the church institution itself.
Right.
Again, we're running a little bit out of time. Maybe if we could just make a few more points and. There's a lot more that we have over here that we didn't really discuss. Maybe I'll just say over Rashi Prakim from what we have towards the end over here. Until now, when we've been speaking about Christianity, so we spoke about the founder of Christianity, we called him Yoshka, no? Are you allowed to say the other name? So there's a truva in the Chavis Ya'ir. Now, the Chavis Ya'ir in parentheses writes that we know that our goyim today are not really ovdei avodah zarah because they believe in borei shamayim va'aretz. The question is, when you have these lines in poskim, does that mean that that's really their conviction, or does that mean that they're saying something because they were scared of the people who are printing? It's not clear. But the fact is, the Chavos Ya'ir, later in the tshuva, does permit one to say Jesus, and the Chavos Ya'ir says that the reason for that is because the name was a personal name before it became a deity. And that's what the Yireyim has, it's called by the Hagos Maimini, that's all here in the Chavos Ya'ir. The Bir Hagra in Yeridei Kuf Mem Zayin Sifkat and Gimel paskins that you're allowed to say the name Jesus. That's what the Gaon says. Nevertheless, Yireyim Ushleimim, the minog of Jews has always been that we don't. We call it Yashka. There's an interesting tshuva here in Reb Israel Hildesheimer about a teacher who was called to Reb Hildesheimer because the teacher is teaching literature, and in class a teacher uttered the word Jesus. So they call the teacher into Reb Hildesheimer and they say, what's going on here? It's like a terrible thing. How are you doing this? So they tell you the whole story. And he says, yeah, the Gemara has a name Yeshu. Reb Hildesheimer thinks that the second half of his name, which is Greek for Messiah, is much worse than the first half of his name, right? That's what it says in Hildesheimer. But Lamaisa, we can't deny the fact that Bechol Tefutas Yisrael, Erlach Yidden, don't pronounce the name. We call it Yashka, the name of the holiday that comes up on December 25th. So that holiday, again, traditionally Jews would say Kratzmach or the like. Traditionally Jews did not use other names, especially because the second half of the name is more of a problem than the first half of the name, because that second half might mean Messiah or Lord. That might be some sort of Kabbalah's accepting of rulership or authority of that founder of the religion. So the fact is that traditionally Jews did not say the name of the holiday. Rav Soloveitchik used to. The Rav always used to speak about Christmas. But the fact is that traditionally Jews did not say it. I think it's a proper thing to try to acculturate ourselves not to use these terms, because again, like we said beforehand, we want to maintain the distance. And something that Rav Hildesheimer mentions in the end of this tshuva is bebeis chinuch yilodim, right? So there's a chash of dom asil amisrach when we talk about chinuch of kids, so it's much more of a concern. If you're going to say the real name, so that is more of a problem. I give you some makoros towards the end about whether the shesi ve'er of the cross has a status of Avodah Zarah. There's a machlokas pashtus between the Shach and the Ramah, although in some editions of the Shulchan Aruch it's not really clear. Then there's some issues about getting Hanah from Avodah Zarah that we have in the packet. There's hundreds and hundreds of shailas that can come up and do come up. So it's what to look into. These are just some of the makoros and the beginning of the conversation. Lamaisa, let's just conclude with this. The Minchas Aluzer was once asked a shayla about whether you're allowed to look at a clock on top of the church. That was the shayla. So Chelik Beis and Simon Ayin Gimel. You look at the clock on top of the church. So the Shoel and the Minchas Aluzer says, well, maybe it's mutter because we follow those opinions that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah, which takes us back to where we began today. We follow. They don't say Me'iri Befevish, but that's what they mean. So the Minchas Aluzer's response is fascinating. He says, Chas v'shalom. To follow those opinions, why do you think hundreds of Jews gave up their lives throughout the generations? He's matir it for other reasons. He's matir it because he says the only reason why they put the clock on top of the church is because it's the highest point in town. And it's not bedavka connected to the church. But to say that we have a kula based on the fact that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah, Minchas Saluzer, I think I printed out for you in this packet, he gets here and says, Chas v'shalom to say that, why on earth would so many Jews have given up their lives not to convert to Christianity? I think that's a sentiment that we don't often have, that certainly as part of whatever conversation, as much as we want to be tolerant and egalitarian, etc., and it's an important Western value, and it, yeah, and Dr. Berger was called a big Yerei Shamayim by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein when he presented this paper for that reason, for trying to dig up the meaning. He says, as much as we want to do that, we also have to remember the counterforce of Jews have given up their lives for this for hundreds and hundreds of years. With that, we'll conclude. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. In terms of the question about the clock, the issue had always been
who has it? How do you do this here?
The issue had always been entering.